Hey, it's Lisa Ann here. Thanks for joining me on another episode of the More Than Social podcast. I'm a digital marketing expert, self-development junkie, and your go-to for all things marketing, ads, and automation. I'm so excited that you popped by to hang out with me today. So let's dive right into the topic. When it comes to growing a business, whether that's one business or multiple businesses, there's going to be a certain point where you just cannot do it by yourself. Or there's going to be a certain point that if you are doing it by yourself, you are working all the dang time. Now, someone that has inspired me within my business has taught me something that when it comes to scaling, when it comes to running multiple businesses, you need to have the right mindset and you need to have the right leadership. Now, the special guest that I have on the episode today is Naveed, and he is someone who has multiple businesses. He actually has 6 different businesses. He is a real estate investor. He has over 500 different properties, and he only works 4 days a week. I know. I was mind blown as well when I heard that. How does someone have 6 businesses, 500 properties, and only works 4 days a week? And I'm not talking he's working from morning to night. He's only working in the pockets of his day when he's not being a dad or focusing on his health and fitness. So I wanted to bring on Naveed because I felt like his story is one incredible, but the accomplishments that he's done in that time frame is outstanding. And I really picked his brain of how do you actually do this? What do you have to do in order to be able to run your business or multiple businesses in the same way? So I'm not going to spoil it. Let's bring him right on. Hey there, Naveed. Welcome to the More Than Social podcast.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
You know what? No one actually says, hey, how are you? Any interview that I've done. So thank you for asking.
Really?
Yeah. That's funny.
Oh, wow.
It kind of like threw me off a little bit, but but welcome and thank you again for being here. I'm so excited to dive into it. I remember when we first met, the one thing that you said to me was how you like to outsource lots within your business. And that always stuck with me. So that's kind of what I want to talk about today. But before we dive into me picking your brain about things, give our listeners a quick insight into who you are, what you do. And I would love for you to explain like your journey within entrepreneurship.
My name is Naveed Musa. I teach real estate investing to anyone who wants to hear it. Essentially, I am a father first and foremost. And my story basically is I got into real estate because my brother was bugging me to get into real estate. And I complained about it, so they bought my course. I got into it. I got screwed over within the first year, and I kind of vowed that I don't want anyone else to go through that. So through that, I was like, I'm going to go ahead and make sure everyone learns the true power of what you can do as a real estate agent. And that journey has taken me down, I don't know how many different roads and paths, but one of the paths is outsourcing. Like it taught me that we don't just have to be independent of ourselves. We can empower other people by learning what we learn, and outsourcing is a great way to do that.
I love it. And so brag about yourself for a second. How many businesses do you have?
You know I can't do that.
How many businesses do you have? How many properties do you own? Like really brag about yourself. You can do it.
All right. So I know I have 6 businesses because I just did 6 tax returns. So that I know. Okay. So I got 6 tax returns, 6 businesses. I own about 500 properties when it's all said and done, give or take. Yeah, Lisa, why are you going to do this to me?
You're crushing it.
You know I can't talk about myself. I tell people it's God's light, man. It's God's light just shining through me. But basically, I have a fleet of taco trucks, a glamping campground, 70 acres, a real estate brokerage, a wholesale team, property management company, construction crew, consulting firm. And now my online course, which we just launched and stuff like that. So, you know, to what I've learned throughout the years, I know it's broad. Everyone can learn it regardless of what country you're in. And so, yeah, that's been my focus for a while now. But my story, there's not enough time in the day, man, at least with my story. It goes first generation in this country. My family came over from Africa. I can go on and on and on about that stuff, but yeah, I don't know where you want me to go with it. I'm sorry.
It just blows my mind. Okay, 6 businesses, 500 properties. You have a lot going on. And how many days a week do you work?
I work 4 days a week, 4 hours a day.
So obviously I know this, and that's why I'm kind of pulling it out of you, but that is mind blowing to me. Like, most people who have one business and one house that they live in, they're grinding, like they're working like 16, 17 hour days, 7 days a week to make this happen. So can you just share with me, how do you actually do this all?
So first and foremost, I have a strategy called MDTA, mindset, discipline, time management, and action. Right. So that's kind of my four pillars of success, if you will. So I use that. And what I've learned is time is the mindset. First of all, if you tell yourself you need to grind all day, work 16 hours, then you're going to grind all day, work 16 hours. Mm-hmm. Okay. So understand that. But if you tell yourself, okay, these are the things I really want to get done in life, and these are things I'm okay if I get accomplished in life. And by life, I mean throughout that day, I'll be okay. So then you focus on what you have to get done. If we all sat there, everybody, I don't care, one business, one house, 500 houses, six businesses. If you sat and looked at your life and said, this is what I want to get done, you can probably get what you really, really, really want to get done probably in a matter of an hour and a half, 2 hours. Okay? We have this notion that we have to get everything done in this small time frame, and that's not true. So once you can embrace that, then you can start making real strides. And that starts with your mindset, right? So mindset is believing it. Then there's the discipline. So with discipline and time management, they go hand in hand. So to me, discipline is the version of the person you've seen through somebody else. You go, oh, I like that. I want that. I want to get there. And so now you're like, okay, how do I get there? What's that path for me? And then you realize to get that path, you're like, oh, I have to manage myself better. Well, how do I manage myself? I have to manage my time. I have to manage my time. Now it's, okay, what do I want to get accomplished? I want to make sure my kids get a home-cooked breakfast every single day. I want to make sure that when they come home, they see me. And as a matter of fact, in about 20 minutes, my son's going to walk through. You're going to see him. And I want to make sure I get my prayers and my workout in. So there, those are my four things I have to get done every single day, at least on school days, obviously, right? Okay, now, what's that giving me? So that means kids are off to school by like between 7 and 8. I have to be available between 7 and 8. Son gets home around 3 o'clock, I have to be available by 3 o'clock. So I know I can't be doing work from 7 to 8 or 3 o'clock. I want to go to the gym. I have my prayers in the morning, so my gym has to come after they go to school. So my gym is going to be like 9 o'clock. So there we go. Now I've established the things I really want to get done and the times that I'm allowed to get them done in, if you think about it, right? Mm-hmm. So now that I've done that, I'm like, okay, my window is like from 10 till 3. That's 5 hours. Now, in those 5 hours, I have to, in my opinion, get work done, get income-producing stuff done to pay the bills and all that kind of good stuff there. Have a job, if you will. Once I started doing that, then I'm like, okay, realistically, I'm a bougie person. I have expensive taste. I'll be the first one to tell you that. And I know I can't just work a regular job, so I need to have different forms of income coming in. So what can I do in that? Now, what everyone, all your listeners need to understand, this was not an overnight thing. This was not something that was perfected from day one. This is something that caused a lot of headache and heartache and arguments and discussions in the house, family and friends and wife and everyone alike. And through those things, through those discussions and time, I created what I've just told you guys. To go back to the time management piece, time management, we all punish ourselves because we think, I'm going to go to the gym this day, or do these things. If we miss one day or deviate one day, we're like, oh, the whole day is gone. Forget it. Fuck it. I'm out of here. I'm done. Right? I said, well, done. Peace. I tell people, if you get one flat tire, are you going to flatten the other three? No. You're going to fix that one flat tire. Why would you? It's a mess up. So you missed the one day. So you went in late. It's okay. But you adjust and you adapt. Your time management isn't like set in stone. Your time management is a template for you. And that template is what helps you say, okay, here's what I got. Let me work with these parameters, right? And you create the parameters. And if it doesn't work, then you adjust them. That's the beauty of our life, mm-hmm. right? We can adjust what we want to do. So when I started adjusting and coming across the form I just told you guys about, you know, the 8, 9, and 10 to 3 kind of thing, I was like, okay, at 10 to 3, I have to make sure I get my work done. I have to do these things. So that's where real estate comes in. Because with real estate, I was allowed to go ahead and start selling property, making money that way as a real estate agent. And then because I was making good money, I then taught somebody else what to do and said, listen, why don't you do this for me? And I don't got to keep 100%. I'll give you a percentage. Mm-hmm. And that time right? That I basically bought time. I basically purchased time through somebody else. Now that I purchased that time, I'm going to use that time not to go ahead and pop bonbons and watch SportsCenter. I'm going to take that time to go ahead and learn another craft, another skill that brings income in. So every time I created something that created income, in my mind, it was for me to create a job for somebody else so I don't have to create jobs for myself.
Mm, I like that.
That's how I looked at it. So I was like, okay, I got this. I'm going to hire you to do this. You can take some of the income. I got this. Boom, now I'm getting 25%, 40%, 60%. Case in point, I got a text message last night saying, oh, by the way, what's your account number? I need to deposit like $1,575. I was like, what for? They're like, oh, you referred so-and-so, so-and-so. I was like, oh, thank you. Right? It's just a quick $1,500 I didn't even think about and getting, right? But that only happened because I wasn't greedy. I know there's enough wealth out there. And I know there's legit, how can I say it? There's legit, man, awesomeness, if you will, in empowering other people. Like to see them get it, right? And that's you know, so I have to delegate to them. Mm-hmm. Say, here's what you need to do. If you do this, you get this much money. And then they go, oh, now I see it. And I'm like, yeah. And then it trickles down. Now they're saying, hey, Navid, I have an idea. I'm like, oh, you have an idea? That's another potential way for me to make money too. Mm-hmm. Right? So now I got... At one point in time, Lisa, I think during the pandemic, I counted, I had 24 different ways of income.
Wow.
Between like stocks, dividends, and this and all that kind of stuff, whatever, residuals and whatever, everything. I was like 24, 25 different forms of income coming in at any given time. And I was like, that's awesome. Like, that's really, really good, you know? Mm-hmm. But I know I can't keep running like that 24/7, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. So I start putting some more stuff out. So, but yeah, that's my rainbow. That's that.
That's how you do it. So once you figure out how to make the income, then you delegate it to someone else. Do you have any tips from a delegation side of things? Because speaking from, I'm going to say perfectionist, but I can also label myself as a control freak or used to be a control freak. I'm really working on this. But how do you just let it go? How do you just let this person take it and run with it?
So rule number one, no one is going to run your business the way you do. Mm-hmm. Period. You have to embrace that. If you do not embrace that, then you will maintain a control freak. You will be a control freak. Simple as that. There's no other way to put it. Once you can embrace that, then the second thing you need to embrace is 80-20. They're only going to get 80% of it correct. That's okay. That is okay. Remember, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, we don't want to create a job for ourselves. And if we're expecting someone else to do exactly what we do, when we do it, and how we do it, that's what we're doing is creating a job then, because now we're going to micromanage and look at them all the time, right? So understand that, hey, listen, these are my 10 things that I like you to do. You got 7 out of the 10? Okay, I can live with that. I wish it was more, but I'm cool with that. You got 8 out of the 10? That's even better. Awesome. So that's how the delegation works. So what people don't understand, I think, with delegation also, Lisa, is that, here's how I tell people. You need a lot of wires to go wireless, right? So you need to do and put a lot of processes in place, written processes, in order to delegate. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times people delegate by saying, hey, you watch me. I'm going to tell you what I do. I'm going to do it. No. Record what you do. Screen record. I don't care if you got someone following you for the day and just videotaping you and just, you know, scripting everything, transcript, whatever it is. You then have to look at that. And understand, you're not a perfectionist. No one is expecting you to be a perfectionist except for yourself. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the other thing. Once you have that down, the tasks are recorded or whatever, you create your policy. That's basically your procedure manual. You look at it, you go over it. Step number 3 or 4, whatever the step we're on, that people kind of fail at, is once they create this policy and procedure, they review it and they want that policy and procedure to be perfect, like not miss a thing, not miss a scenario at all. How did you learn? Didn't you bump your head? Mm-hmm. Didn't you screw up? Don't you think they're going to learn the same way too?
Yeah, exactly.
You are where you are because you screwed up. Let them screw up so they have a chance to get there.
Okay, but if you're letting someone screw up and it's, I'm going to say it, it's your business, some people would think, okay, well, that's making me look bad if my team is screwing up. How do you handle that?
It's not if you're learning from it, right? ownership. Mm-hmm. Okay, take ownership of it. If they screw up, if you've done it right, if you've given them enough, not just knowledge and information, but if you have true communication with them, true communication with them saying, listen, I don't expect you to be 100% of this because I sure as shit wasn't. I don't expect you to get everything right. You are going to mess up. But I have confidence in you that you'll do just fine. And I also have confidence that if you don't, that I have given you enough courage and comfortability with me that you can come and talk to me and tell me about it. It's not just the process encouragement, it's the communication encouragement. They need to know that you have their back through thick or thin, high water, low water, whatever, that you have their back. So when they screw up, and they will, because they know you're there, they will come and communicate that with you, and then you guys can work on it together. And that's a whole different value lesson that they'll pick up.
Yeah. And then what about the other end? So I know this not going to be applicable to every single business that you have, but if you're in a service-based business, let's just say the mm-hmm. property management mm-hmm. and the clients that, or the properties that you're managing, they're so used to you coming to the table or you going to the house and you are the contact person. How do you start to distribute that to the person that you've now hired to kind of replace you?
Absolutely. That's just that. So similar to communication, right? So the process we have in now, to your example right there, is a perfect example. I used to be the person who met them at the table and did this and did that and handheld them from soup to nuts. Mm-hmm. When I was transitioning, I started taking my replacement with me, and they would meet the client with me and they would see the process with me. And I would say, hey, meet so-and-so. They're basically going to be taking over what I do, but I'm still here. But I just want to make an introduction right now for the near future when you buy some more properties. You know this is a person, right? And then I would start and I would explain to them, you're going to see them at more closing tables. You're going to see them at properties. You're going to see them being CC'd on emails, right? So, and then on purpose, when I would get communication to me, even if I could answer it, I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I give it to the person and say, hey, listen, here you go. Now, they would say, what do I say? And I would say something like this in your own words, blah, blah, blah. It's just a time thing, right? We always think that if you're handing me the reins to your business mm-hmm. on Tuesday and I've trained with you for a year, you think on Tuesday when you hand me the reins, you can walk away on Tuesday?
I mean, that'd be the dream, right?
But you won't, and you can't.
Yeah.
That's your baby. That's no different than you taking your child to daycare for the first time, but like, I know I trained my kid. I told him to be polite, say please, say thank you, wipe your hands, go to the bathroom and do this, like everything. But that day one, you need to walk away from them and you're like, wait a minute. Same concept with the business. It's mm-hmm. your baby, you build it. So that first day, I don't care how much training you have, just understand that, listen, that day one doesn't happen like day one. Day one, it's 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, 1.4 kind of days. That's how it kind of works. Mm-hmm. Right, but it's the introduction to go back to your thing. How do you make that transition? In a service-based business, like property management or whatever, you start making the introduction to your replacement, saying, hey, just letting you know, which is what we do now. Now that it's done, they get emails directly. I don't even get an email. They get it directly and they know. Now, if there's a question or problem, I still get involved. They still let me know. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not 100% hands off. But I only get a call when, like, the house is on fire, you know, something like that. Yeah. That's when I get involved. So other than that, the transition was communication, number one, and full transparency on how I communicate and how I talk to my clients. Mm-hmm.
So is there a sweet spot in terms of how long you should be training someone before you actually hand over the reins?
I think depending on the task, obviously, what you're handing over, right? Mm-hmm. 6 to 9 months, 6 to 8 months is a good window.
Okay, so a long time.
Yeah, it's not. That's just the thing, Lisa, right? That, look, we're entrepreneurs, whether we be full-time or part-time, doesn't matter. At some point in time in our life, we always think, well, I did it. They can do it in this same time frame. Our time frame we put on ourselves is unrealistic. And by that, I mean, we think something took us 60 days to do. But if you really sit and think about it, probably took us 8 months to do. It's just that we got it down to a science in those 60 days.
True. Yeah.
Right. So that's the thing. We're like, I've been knocking this out like the back of my hand for the past 4 or 5 months. Okay, but what led to those 4 or 5 months? Or 10 months before that? Okay, then. 10 months, 4 or 5 months, 15 months. Right, there you go. So that's right. I think 6 to 8 months is a good time. 6 to 9 months is a good time. Obviously, task dependent. But that 6 months is a good sweet spot. And what I would say is 6 months is a soft test. Perfect example. Great question now. You know my sister, Mariani. In January, we decided that she was going to be taking over my role come April 1st. So here's exactly what we just did. We're doing it right now. In January, her and her replacement created the processes that I had given to Mari. Mm-hmm. Mari was with me for a year. She got the processes over a year, then she took over. Now she's ready to bump up again. So now she's taking the processes that I put in place for her, and she's now going to tweak them how she sees fit, how she had it working. Remember the 80-20?
Yep.
Right? Yeah. So now, remember I said she's only going to get 80%. So she's taking the 80% that she got and the 20% she didn't get, and she's creating her own 80% now. So she's going to teach it to her trainee, essentially. And then they're going to go through that for the month of January. Now, for the month of February, her trainee is basically doing, getting ready to prepping all the tasks and then notifying Mari, and then Mari is reviewing them before she submits them, whatever the task may be.
Gotcha.
And then for March, her trainee is actually going to do everything and just CC Mari on all the emails. And that's it. And Mari's only supposed to jump in if there's an issue. But she's still going to be like the coach, back there watching, making sure all the plays are being executed properly. That's exactly what she's going to be doing. And then come April, she's now hands off. Mm-hmm. So we staged it that way.
Gotcha. Yeah, I feel like so many people expect it just to happen overnight. And it's like, it really comes down to the type of people that you bring in too. It's like, what is their experience? But at the end of the day, it's like, you have your specific process for your business that has been working for you. If you're the owner of the company, obviously, like you said, it's your baby. You're going to... Yes. You want it to go one way or one specific method, but it's like, it's not going to happen overnight. And I think that's the biggest takeaway for me right now. It's like, that is a long period of time, but once you actually spend the time to train them correctly and let them fail, like you said, then that is what's going to allow you to step back. And I think it's definitely easier said than done. I'm sure you can relate to that. But
before I had my first VA, which is well over a decade ago, a really good friend of mine, now my business partner, he was trying to get a VA for literally 2-3 years. And I was like, no, by the time I train her, I can do it myself. I train them. He was like, you don't understand. Yes, you can get it done if you train, but if you record it and you do this, we can get off your plate. And it took him years to beat it in my head. Mm-hmm. You know, literally years to beat it in my head. And I finally said, okay, fine, whatever. And I did it. And it was the best thing I ever did. I was like, to your other point, it feels like it takes forever, whatever. If you notice, we don't put timelines on the trainings. So you need to do that. It's just like a milestone. Hey, by this month, you should be here. By this month, you should be here. By so on and so forth. And I think when you do that, it eliminates that, oh, this training is taking forever. Well, no, it's not. It's only been 2 months and we have a 6-month timeline. So 22 months in, it's not taking forever. Right? So that's one thing. And then the other thing is sometimes we don't, because we're so impatient, we want everything done so fast, we feel we hired the wrong person. And then we're like, this isn't the right person. No, this isn't the right person. We go through 4 people. Yeah, but you didn't give them the time to even cultivate anything. You didn't even do that, right? So putting that deadline, the 2, 3, 6, whatever months on there is key. And then you have to have timelines within that timeline. What I mean, so if 6 months is your deadline, you should have like a month 2 review, month 4 review to make sure you're on goal to hit that 6-month goal, if you will.
Yeah, which makes total sense. Like, I mean, even if you're working out or trying to achieve a goal from a fitness standpoint, like you're always going to break it down, have a specific goal. So it's like, it's so clear when you say it out loud, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, I want this done yesterday and I want everyone to be as on the same level that I am. But yeah, it's things to learn as you start to scale your businesses.
Yeah, I mean, with the taco trucks, we did it here in my kitchen. Like literally, we went to the grocery store, bought the food scale, and did everything right there and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, now what? You know, we got to get a truck. We got to get through this. Okay, fine. And then, man, after the first year, we're like, oh, we did horrible. Didn't do that great. Oh, man, maybe this is a dumb idea. And it was like, no. And we hired and fired so many people. So many people, excuse me, quit. We must have gone through 40 people. in the first 18 months. And it was like, what is so hard? This is cooking. It's cooking. And we're like, we're really good cooks. We're not hiring cooks. We're just hiring people who want to work. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I remember that. So now, 6 years later, 5 years later, we now have a core team, right? Where we went from one truck to four trucks to a catering truck to this truck, that, an event truck, whatever. But we went through all those growing pains. And we had, in every business I do, I learn something new. I learn something new, but it's the same old base foundation, timing. You have to set a realistic expectation of when you're going to delegate something to somebody. If you do not put that time in place, that date in place, it's a moving target, and you're just going to get frustrated and think that you're running a shit show, and it's not really. It's just you didn't really set up a realistic expectation of when to hit what dates.
Question about that. So you mentioned that you were just hiring people to work versus hiring a chef, for instance.
Yeah, sure.
Now, looking back and or with your current businesses too, if you're going to hire someone, do you hire someone who just wants to work, or do you hire someone that has a higher skill?
That's a good question. So my first thing I look for is trustworthiness, loyalty. Am I hiring somebody who I can like get my credit card to and not worry about they have a credit card, right? Because you can't teach that. Either you have loyalty or you don't, okay? That's number one. For the most part, I'm looking for somebody who has a particular skill set, not just wants to work. Not saying it's wrong to get someone just to work, because you got to have foot soldiers, as they call them, mm-hmm. So to run that for you. But me particularly, I like to look for people who have a particular skill set that either A, they can bring to the table, mm-hmm. or B, I can help them enhance. That's
good
how
way
I
to look at it. Good way to look yeah. at it. And I've always done the same. It's like anyone that I brought onto my team, it's like you have to have a certain knowledge. Like, yes, I will enhance it and based on my skills. But when you're at a point where, or at least in my experience, that I've been, I'm going to say, too busy to really train someone from the ground up, it's like they got to meet me at least somewhere, then we'll just get better together. But
that's fair.
I guess it's dependent on the person, but I like the whole they have to be trustworthy. And for me, it's I have to vibe with them. Like if we can have a really good conversation, we're on the same page, like we can actually just like kind of hang out in a sort of way.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That at the end of the day is something that I also look for. But I am at a point right now that I'm just like, okay, what do I have to do in my business based on everything that we just talked about? So I appreciate it. And I'm sure everyone listening is in the same spot. But before we end, I always ask one specific question to all of our guests. If you could give one piece of advice to a fellow entrepreneur, doesn't have to be what we talked about here, what would that one piece of advice be?
Oh, wow.
I didn't give you any insight into this question that was going to come before.
Okay. Get ready for the grind. That's it. No, get ready for the grind, because nobody who you come across owes you anything.
Hmm.
No one does. So there's no thing, well, you owe me this in 30 days, in 60 days, 90 days. Your success is your success. And just get ready for that grind. That's the fastest way I can put it.
I love it. Get ready for the grind and then learn how to delegate and have the right team members. And then you can have 500 properties, 6 businesses, work 4 days, all the things that Naveed has. So thank you so, so much for coming on. I greatly appreciate you really taking us behind the scenes of how to be a successful, multiple successful business owner. So greatly appreciate you as always. Thank you so much. And anyone who wants to reach out to you, where can they find you?
On Instagram and TikTok at the Naveed Musa. Go to NaveedMusa.com. as well, and LinkedIn is at the Naveed Musa, and I have a YouTube channel, all the same thing. Everything's at the Naveed Musa for all those platforms.
Amazing. I will make sure to put them in the show notes for everyone. And guys, if you are interested in learning about real estate investing as well, I have seen the behind the scenes with Naveed's courses, so I highly recommend talking to him about that. I know we didn't talk about it whatsoever here, but if you're ever interested in that, I highly recommend it. So thank you again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Lisa. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for hanging out with me on this episode. I am so grateful that you show up each and every week. I hope these tips and tricks have brought you some new ideas and new inspiration for your business. If you love this conversation, let me hear it. Leave us a rating and review on the More Than Social podcast, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Share it with someone who you know needs this message, and together, let's make an impact and let's make a business that we love. I'll see you next week. Thank you.